What a wonderful day thus far. You get to hear the children sing, and I know some of you are going to tell me they didn't sing loud enough, but you know what? They sang great. And it was a joy to have them up front singing. So thank you for those who put that together, and thank you, children. I know most of them have left the room now, but thank you. Today is a special day in the life of the church. We celebrate Christmas real big. We celebrate Easter real big. But you know what? Today's the birthday of the church. Today is the day of Pentecost. Okay? Jerry's favorite holiday, right, brother? Amen. And sometimes we separate Pentecost and that emotional Pentecostal thing. We separate that off to the side. We're Baptists. We're not that. Well, without Pentecost, there wouldn't be Baptists. Without Pentecost, the word would not have gotten around the world. But we're going to start in the book of Genesis first. We're going to start in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 11. At the Tower of Babel. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 11. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar." Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Here we are at the beginning of history, beginning of the talking about the nations and how that developed in the chapter before this. It does give us some information about how these nations, but in this case, what we have is this story about the people got together. And I want you to notice the people gathered to establish a monument to elevate themselves. Let's come together and we will establish a monument to elevate ourselves. We will show how great we are. And we will show what we're able to do. Well, God noticed what they were doing. And God said, "Let's go down and see what's happening." And God notices that if they all can speak the same language, that then they would be able to accomplish whatever they wanted to. Boy, I wonder what would happen if we all could speak the same language here. Or if this country could all speak the same language. What would be possible and what would happen? God said if they could communicate in the same language, they will be able to accomplish whatever they want. But in this case, they were trying to accomplish it to elevate themselves. See how great and wonderful we are? See what great and wonderful thing we can do? We can make bricks and we can use tar and we can build this monument to the sky. And everybody will know how great we are, and we will not be scattered over the face of the earth. But what does it say happens? It says that God comes down and confuses their language. Now, part of me wants to say, why does God confuse their language? Why do they all start talking different languages and cannot communicate to one another? I thought God wanted unity. I thought God wanted togetherness. And God confuses them so that now they are scattered everywhere. Over the face of the earth, it says. They're scattered from one end to the other. They're all talking different languages. They're not able to communicate with each other. They're not able to come together to work on things together because they cannot communicate with one another. Have you ever heard anybody speak a foreign language that you do not know? It sounds like Babel, doesn't it? I wonder where the tower got its name. It sounds like Babel. It sounds like people are saying things, but you can't make any sense out of that. I just remembered a story my grandfather shared with me. And after he shared it with me, I told him, I said, Grandpa, this is not a story you should tell about yourself. My grandfather graduated from the Naval Academy in 1935. On their senior trip, they went to Italy. And they had an audience with Mussolini. And they were able to hear Mussolini speak. After Mussolini finished speaking, my grandfather leaned over to the guy sitting next to him. He said, "Can you believe that?" And the guy said, "What?" He said, "I took 4 years of Italian and I didn't understand a single word that he said." The guy sitting next to my grandfather leaned over to him and said, "Ronald, that's because he was speaking English." And I just looked at my granddad and I said, "Granddad, that's not a story you should tell on yourself." I mean, I can't imagine that, to get to hear Mussolini speak and then really not hear what he had to say. You see, when people speak other languages and other accents sometime, we have a hard time hearing them. We have a hard time communicating with them. And in this case, this is a story about where all the languages came from. God came down and confused them because they were trying to elevate themselves. They were trying to make a name for themselves. They were trying to show how great they were. Well, let's flip over now to the book of Acts and see a different story. Book of Acts, Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Now, let me kind of give you an understanding. It's the festival of Pentecost. At the festival of Pentecost, the Jews come to Jerusalem from around the world to celebrate Pentecost. And they're there to celebrate, and that's why we have Jews from every nation that are there. We have them coming from different parts of the earth. They all speak different languages. And what happens on this day is what Jesus told them would happen. The Holy Spirit descends upon those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and lives within them. The one part of the Trinity comes to live within them. It says it comes down looking like flames of tongues. It looks like a dove. It comes down. It's not actually any of these things. It just, that's the way they described about. And they all start speaking in different languages. Well, I'm not so sure that's what happened. Pay attention to what the Scripture says here. It says that everybody started hearing them in their own language. And they're all going, these are Galileans. How do they know all these languages? How is this happening? And the verse that I didn't read, verse 13, somebody's off to the side going, you know what? I think they've been drinking early in the morning. That's exactly what the next verse says. Or maybe they're still drunk from the night before. But it's God's Holy Spirit that comes down upon them and causes them to talk. And as they talk, other people hear them in their own language. Now, is that not amazing? I'm not so sure that it's the gift of tongues, as we call it. They're speaking in another language. I think it has something to do with people can hear what's happening and what's going on. I did that one time when I was in Kenya. I was walking with some ladies and they were speaking in Kikuyu. And as they were speaking in Kikuyu, I immediately knew exactly what they were talking about. Even though I don't know that language, I knew exactly what they were talking about. They were talking about me being an adult because I had three children. And Bob, who was staying at the same house with me, was not married and had no children, so he was still a child. That's how Kenyan society works. You don't become an adult until you get married and have children. Until then, you're still a child. And they're talking about that amongst themselves. And I realized that that's what they were talking about, even though I didn't know their language. And I laughed. And Anna, who was my mother for that weekend, she told us, she was same age as me, but she was my mother for the weekend. She told me when I was getting up. She told me when I was going to bed. She told me when I was going to take a shower, when I was going to eat. She told me everything that I was going to do for the whole weekend. She stopped and she looked at me. We were walking somewhere and all of them stopped. And she looked at me and she said, do you know what we're talking about? And I said, yeah. You're talking about me being an adult and Bob being a child because he doesn't have any children. And you're talking about... They never spoke in Kikuyu again. I still don't know that language. But there was something that happened that day that I could hear what they were saying. And I could understand what they were saying clearly. Anna let me know that. You see, God's Holy Spirit descends to help people understand. That's what happened that day. The Holy Spirit descended upon the people. They were able to talk and share about Jesus Christ, and everybody from every other language could hear what they were saying, and they could understand it in their own language. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going somewhere in the world and all of a sudden everything that everybody else says in another language you understand very clearly? They haven't changed the language they're speaking, but you're understanding it. This is what happened that day. Instead of confusing people, God came and helped them to understand. Now, the first time God confused them, what happened? They were scattered over the whole earth, right? God comes down this time and helps them to understand. You know what happens next? They scatter to spread God's message of salvation to the world. They scatter. Now, part of their scattering has to do with a lot of these people are in town for this festival and they go back home. Okay? They go back home. Pentecost originally was a harvest festival, the spring harvest. And they come in for this and they're part of it and they go back home. What do you think they're telling about when they get home? They're telling about this incredibly unusual story. These old fishermen, they were speaking in my language. I heard them in my language. I could understand what they were talking about. And they were talking about how mighty God was. They were talking about what Jesus Christ has done for us. They are right after this, and I'm not going to go on and read the whole thing. Right after this, Peter stands up and gives the first Christian sermon. Take some time to look at that. The very first Christian sermon had no invitation at the end of it. None. Peter gave the message about Jesus Christ and who Jesus was and what Jesus had come to do. And Peter left and sat down and said, "It's over." And you know what happened next? The people came and said, "Peter, but how do we get saved? What do we need to do?" They asked for an invitation. "Show us what the next steps are." You see, what had happened that day was so powerful, so incredible, that they could not wait to respond, but they didn't know how to do it. And they had to get Peter basically back on stage. "Peter, tell us how to respond." Now, most of the time we do a better job than that, but I'm always encouraged by what Peter did. And it worked in people's hearts through the Holy Spirit in such a way that they knew they had heard God and they knew that they needed to respond. That they needed to do something in response to the message they had heard. Now, you've heard me talk about this for 9 years. Worship is not a time that we come to be entertained. Worship is not a time that we come to feel good about ourselves. Worship is a time that we recognize who God is. And we recognize that we need to hear God. The next steps of worship is very important. Once we hear God, we have to respond. And most people never respond. They may give a thought in their mind to say, "I've heard a message from God and this is part of what I need to be about and I'm going to find some ways to change some of the things I'm doing." And they never take the next step of actually making some of those changes. You see, when Isaiah is called up into heaven, he hears God saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for me?" What does Isaiah do? "Here am I, send me." God, you made a call. You reached out to me. You cleansed me. You asked me to be part of your ministry in this world. Now, I truly hope that God never asked me to be part of the ministry that he asked Isaiah to do. Because he asked Isaiah to go to the people and tell them how horrible it was going to be for them if they didn't straighten their lives out. And God told him right there at the beginning, they will never like you. And Isaiah, throughout his life, asked, how long do I have to tell this story? And God said, keep telling it. They never liked him. They didn't like the words of prophecy that he brought. They didn't like what he was telling them needed to be done. You see, he shared God's message and people didn't respond. They hated him for bringing the message. Even though he was bringing an accurate and true message from God. Folks, the people that day were so caught up in what had happened there and realized the power of God that had come to the church and what that power could do. As we've been talking Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights about the future of this church and where we're going to go and what God's asking us to do, one of the things that has been bubbling up over and over and over again is that we have to realize it's by God's power that we do this. I mean, look at in the book of Genesis, they did it under their own power. What happened? God confused them and they were scattered. In the book of Acts, God brings understanding through the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus said would happen. The Holy Spirit will come, will teach you all the things that I taught you, will remind you of what I taught you, will help you, will empower you, will help you. As Baptists, we talk a lot about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us. Traditionally, that's what Baptists do. And we talk some about God the Father who sent the Son. But oftentimes, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. That's not my case. I know you've heard about the Holy Spirit from me many times. You see, we need to be in connection with the Holy Spirit. We need to understand what God's trying to teach us through what the Spirit is saying. And Scripture tells me that that Spirit lives within me. And what is that Spirit now asking me to do? To spread the very word of Jesus Christ. To be scattered. To be pushed out. You know, there's this idea, if you turn the light on, people will show up. It's not true. If the doors of the church are open so people can get in, people don't always stop. Even if I leave the church doors wide open the whole week, folks, we got to be out there. And we got to tell them about Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. How do we get out there and establish relationships with those people? How do we get out there and find out what their needs are? How do we get out there and help them to grow in Jesus Christ? That's what the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to do. God came to bring understanding through the Holy Spirit. And the people were scattered. Just a few chapters later, and I'm going to go over and read, I think it's only one verse in chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The people were living as the church, as God wanted them to be. And what happened? Persecution. And what happened as a result of that? They were scattered. And why were they scattered? So that people could hear the story of Jesus Christ. What neighborhoods do we need to be scattered into in this town? What clubs and organizations do we need to be scattered into to talk about Jesus Christ? What places do we need to be scattered into in this town? God's about scattering. Amen? God was about scattering in Genesis because they were after their own high exaltation. And God's after scattering people to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to be scattered? When we listen to the Holy Spirit, I believe this, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, we will spread out to share God's message. That's our purpose. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, would not God say, yep, got another believer straight to heaven? We've been left here to tell other people. We've been left here for the Holy Spirit to live in and through us to tell other people about Jesus Christ so they can respond. We've been left to help other people grow in Jesus Christ so they can respond. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, we will spread out to share God's message. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? Have you heard the Holy Spirit say you need to spread the message of Jesus Christ to you? I know the proper response sometimes is that's the pastor's job. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to go places I won't go this week. You can spread the news there. I'll spread it in the places I go. But you're going to go to other places that I won't go this week. There's only one bank I go to. Some of you go to a different bank. I bet there's some people at the bank that need to hear the word of Jesus Christ. What do you think? Are you listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you? How is the Holy Spirit helping you to hear and to share? How is the Holy Spirit helping you to hear and to share? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come to you. We come to you looking for all kinds of help at all kinds of times. And you come to us to help us to understand. And you come to us to help us scatter so that we might tell the story of Jesus Christ. Some of us probably have no idea where the person that told us about Jesus Christ came from. But I know for me, they weren't in their hometown when they shared with me. Lord, show us what neighborhoods, restaurants, banks, clubs, organizations we need to scatter to, so that we might share the very word of Jesus Christ and what Jesus can do for people in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in the places that we shop. Help us to realize the Holy Spirit's always trying to quicken our hearts to just drop a seed about Jesus. And Lord, sometimes we don't know how that seed's going to grow. And we don't know how people are going to respond. But we do know that if we don't respond to your message, then we're not following your will. So help us, please, to spread the word of Jesus Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.